It's Thursday, October 24th, 2024. Today we're interviewing Alberta Frankfort local legend Andy Mikem. Andy grew up in Alberta and beginning in the 1940s, he attended Frankfort, Alberta schools. Andy is a 1963 graduate of Frankfort High School and was an outstanding athlete in basketball, football, and track. Andy began an interesting employment history in the area after serving our country in the Army. Thank you for your service, Andy. Andy was inducted into the Frankfort, Alberta Area Schools Hall of Fame in 2016. We'd like to start with your pre-high school years. The Mikem family has a big history in Alberta. How did your family first get here?
Well, my first recollections was we were in Komish. My mom was from Komish. My dad from an old mission up by Traverse City. And there was a grocery store in Komish that my folks ran. But then the calling of the car phrase brought us back to Alberta. My dad worked his way up from a deckhand all the way up to become a deck officer. And so that was the reason that we came back to Alberta.
Can you tell us a little bit about the size and composition of your nuclear family?
Boy, that was, I was born in 45, my brother born in 46. If my parents hadn't quit, there'd have been a passel of us. But like I say, my dad was just a special individual, quiet. He built our house where we eventually ended up on the river road. My mom was just a mom. And my brother was a year younger than myself. He was a tremendous athlete, even better than me. He was a tremendous baseball player, softball player, played on three state championships, fast pitch softball, tried out for the team at Central Michigan University. And then when I came back from Vietnam, he came home over spring break when they were having practice. Unfortunately, he was the last person cut, so I think I might have him coming to see me might have cost him that.
Wow, it sounds like quite an athletic family you had there. So it's just yourself and your brother?
Yes.
And that was your entire family with your mom and dad there?
Yeah, and my dad had two brothers and two sisters that lived here. And his one sister was married to Reggie Robinson. Oh, and where we're set now is just kitty corner across the street. And he's the one that started the ski jump here in Alberta.
Well, that's got quite a history too at the ski jump. Did you ever participate on the ski jump at all?
As a spectator, we watched. They had two runs. One was for toboggan run that had a jump on it. I was on the back of one of those toboggans and fell off after we hit. But yeah, we got to watch. See, Chuck Lutford was 14. He ski jumped. Gary Klassen's from Frankfort. He was a high school student there. And my uncle is the one. He was from Norway. So he participated in that too. And they had great competition here throughout the state.
There was quite a bit of the population who were from Scandinavian countries, as I understood it, that came to work on the car ferry. It's just, they were kind of drawn to this area. They reminded them of Norway, I had heard. As I understand it, your family found an interesting way to deal with the an earlier Alberta housing shortage. Can you fill in the listeners on that story?
Yeah, when we first came back, we rented a small house. And from there, we lived in a school bus. It was just a couple blocks down the street from here. I asked my mom one time, where'd Dad get that school bus? And she didn't know. Well, looking in annuals, it was one that belonged to the Alberta High School. And so I remember it was in the backyard of my grandparents. And we had our beds were forward. Mom and Dad's was back. There was a small kitchen. And we had an outhouse.
Wow.
I'll never forget the day that eventually they bought property on the river road. And Dad fired the bus up, and we drove it out, and we stayed there. And before we got there, he'd built a workshop for his tools, built an outhouse. It was a two-seater, so we were really high on the social ladder, and it was a great career, a great time with my folks and doing that.
So the Alberta High School, they consolidated with the Frankfort High School, I think in 1956. So after that, that was your family home, the bus, for a period of time. And
yep.
That's quite an interesting story there. Can you tell us what it was like to be a kid in Alberta when you're growing up in the 40s and 50s?
Oh, man, playing baseball. It was great. Going up to this ski jump, spending time there watching. But it was an amazing time. If you heard the word marijuana, I said, what country is that? We had no clue. It was just a great time to grow up, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
It was a very easy earlier time there. I know when I was a kid, I spent a lot of time on a bike. Were there a lot of bikes around town? Were kids biking around, or were they just walking, or how did they?
Yeah. There were a lot of bicycles. I remember one particular time, Tom and I were pretty young, and we had bicycles. That's when we lived on the River Road. And so my grandparents lived in Komish, about 20 miles away, and at an early age, we biked over to Komish. And then I remember when we got there, we had a great time, and then my mom said, you want to ride your bikes back? I said, no. We kind of wore ourselves out, but it was really exciting at the time.
Excellent. A few weeks back, Carol and I interviewed the Thomas sisters, and their dad had a store, the William Thomas and Sons store in downtown Alberta. But as I understand it, back in the 50s, there was a number of stores in Alberta, different grocery stores, there was hardware stores, there was gas stations. Can you tell us where your family shopped when they went shopping for the groceries in Alberta?
I did our shopping at Bishop's with Gene and Lila Bishop, with the owners. And they worked 7 days a week. I don't even think they took vacations, but we did all our shopping there. And they just lived up behind the store. So they were there every day. And I remember Mom, when she paid the bill, would write everything down that she paid, including if a stick of gum was 5 cents, it was on that. So I'm sure if my dad signed the checks, they probably wouldn't think that was him, because Mom signed the checks all the time. And it was, like I say, they were just super, super people.
So in the retail district in downtown Alberta, all that would have been along Frankfort Avenue, was it? I know the hardware store is where the current plumbing place is. And the old salon here used to be the Thomas store.
Yeah.
And the Bishop store, that was just up the street from there, was it?
Yeah, that was... A block before, as you're coming into Alberta, it was a block before you got to Thomas's. And so Bishop, there was Dudley Penpole had an insurance business. Right next door was the Bishop store. And then there was a hardware store, which I found out later that up above in that hardware store was the gymnasium where they played basketball.
Okay, and... There was something called an Alberta stump jumper back in the day. And is that something that you had experienced, and you could tell us a little more about it?
Oh, yeah. We just called it a jumper. And it was just like a one-seater with the rail on the bottom. And so we had one out to our house, and we had four hills. So my brother and I, in the wintertime, we was out sliding most every day. In fact, I have at home a sled that my Grandpa Dinger gave us probably close to 65 years ago, that we still have. And so we did a lot of sliding. We didn't ski, because back then when you played sports, especially in the winter, they didn't want us to be up on the slope skiing, afraid of injury.
Yeah, I imagine that would be a big risk with the smaller schools. You lose a few people to a broken leg, and that kind of affects your season pretty quick. Now, when you went to elementary school, where did you go?
Being on the River Road, we were halfway between Alberta and Frankfort, so we went to Frankfort. And when I first started there in kindergarten, we were in the old high school. And I remember you had to go upstairs to get to the kitchen, and then downstairs on the other side at the bottom on the right was the kindergarten room. And so that's where we were at. Then halfway through the school year, we moved into the new elementary school, which is elementary school now, which is, what, 75 years old? But I remember one time, I shouldn't say this, I was in the kindergarten, and Mrs. Robinson was our teacher. And when she snapped her fingers, the wall shook. And so I didn't realize, but the day before, Mrs. Robinson said, well, tomorrow make plans that nobody is going to use the bathroom in the afternoon. Well, I didn't hear that. So next afternoon, I said, boy, I really had to go to the bathroom. And she said, no, you can't go. Well, finally, I couldn't hold out any longer and spent the rest of the day sitting in front of the radiator. But everybody got to go to the bathroom after that.
Were there any local sports legends that were influential on you when you were growing up here in Alberta and Frankfort?
Yeah, we played a lot of baseball, but the thing I remember the most as an eighth grader, that's the high schooler was his first year, and Phil Mix, a local resident, had his barber shop. He scored the first basket ever scored in that gym and ended High Point Man with 18 points, and they beat Indian River. And that's always stands out. Phil was kind of my hero back then. And my other heroes were the class ahead of me, guys that I ended up playing sports with, Bill Johnson, Bob Klassens, Del Parsons. They all were my heroes, and then I got to play alongside them. So it was really fun.
When you entered Frankfort High School in September of 1959, you had 48 members in that freshman class, and somehow you got elected class president. Was the election as contentious as it is in the elections today?
Not even close. But I still hold a grudge against a person that nominated me, but you just everybody raise your hands. There was no campaigning. They just nominated you, raised your hands, and next thing you know, I'm president of the freshman class. And then you had this parliamentary procedure you had to follow, which I wasn't very good at.
As a freshman, you participated in basketball, football, and track. Your involvement in sports continued throughout high school. Did you have a favorite sport?
In the summer times, it was always baseball, but I think it was just as a season, you went from fall to winter to spring. Whatever sport was in season was my favorite at the time. It was, unfortunately, we didn't have baseball when I was in high school. So I ran track, and I'm thinking back, track had a big influence on me because I became a runner at the age of 33 and ran for 46 years, competing in marathons, races throughout the state. It was a great time, and it changed my life. It changed how I ate, how I did exercises to be able to do that, and it was wonderful. I miss it.
Yeah, I know Andy is still active to this day. We've got a small business in downtown Alberta, and every morning when we're putting things out to get the day started, the first thing I would see is Andy come running by, and I knew it was time to get going when I saw Andy moving there. In your sophomore year in September of 1960, Jim Bazell arrived at Frankfort High School to teach, and he coached JV basketball. Was he a big influence in your life?
Oh, my goodness. You have such a special bond with your coaches, and Coach Bazell was so special. Over the years, we become really good friends. I can't say enough about what he meant in my life. He coached basketball. He coached me football, track. He started golf, tennis, and wrestling at Frankfort. So he was a busy person, but one of the most beloved coaches and individuals that Frankfort has. And he's a special guy.
I see from your book also in your sophomore year, both football and basketball programs took big steps forward. The football team went 8-0 and won a championship. They had scored 271 points while giving up only 20 points to opponents. That seems pretty amazing. That same year, the basketball team won its first regional trophy and advanced to the state quarterfinals. Was that the beginning of Frankfort's success in sports that you're aware of?
Absolutely. Back in my era, it was a class of 1962. I was a year behind them, so I just rode on their shirt tails. But they were amazing. I was talking to Del Parsons, and in the three-year varsity career playing basketball, they only lost two home games. That's an incredible record. Bill Johnson, probably the best athlete I've ever played with. He was cool, calm under any circumstance. And Bob Klassens, he was 6 foot, about 240 pounds, and an amazing, amazing athlete. In fact, he was an All-America high school football player. So we had some great athletes in that class, and so we mingled in with a few of us, and it was a great run.
In your junior year, Jim Bazell became the head football coach, and Frankfort's success continued in both football, where they were 7-0-1, and basketball, where they were 17-0. And you were named All-Conference halfback. How was that experience for both you and the school?
The regular starting halfback had an injury, so he didn't play that year. So I got the starting position. Well, I'm left halfback. The right guard is a high school All-America. I mean, I was pretty well set up. I mean, the holes that he opened up, you could drive a semi-truck through. So it was a nice honor. But if Del Parsons would have played, he would have been an all-state running back. So I was lucky. I was in a position that you couldn't fail at. It was a great run and much appreciated, but it is what it is.
In your senior year, the football team was hampered by inexperience and injuries and finished the season with a 1-5 record, something I can relate to. It sounds very similar to my football experience as a senior. And the basketball team finished the season 11-6. You were the team's leading scorer, averaging 21 points per game, and named to the first team all-conference squad. What are some of the lessons you learned facing adversity in your last football season?
The thing I remember the most was Coach Bazell never gave up on us. Our practice were as intense as if we were 6-0. So he never gave up on us. Our one win, thank goodness, was our homecoming game. So I guess that helped with the season. But it was just, and you win as a unit, you lose as a unit. So we stayed together. We stayed together. And Coach Bazell was a star. He was.
Now, I understand, Andy, not only were you playing all these sports in high school and doing a college prep, a full load of classes, but you did work locally. What kind of work did you do at that time?
Well, when I remember my youngest memories was picking cherries, and I was so glad that down the road, because we were pretty young, to get done, I hated it. And we got done with that orchard, and we come back home, and a neighbor come up and said, "Hey, I got some sweet cherries. You guys want to pick?" No, we did.
So, old were you?
I would say back then, that's before, we might have been 13, 14. Okay. And so we did that. And then when I was in high school, my last 2 years, I worked weekends I worked summers at the Phillips 66 gas station. 6 days a week, and I think I was bringing home $19 a week. So I was in the big money. And then in the school year, I'd work weekends because the station was right across from Pet Milk, and we would service the semi-trucks on weekends. So I just went in and ran the front. And I couldn't wait for Monday to come. I felt like I was on vacation again. But it's a work ethic that I got from my dad.
Where was Pet Milk?
Pet Milk is where Graceland is at now. Yeah. And my dad was a big influence on me. After That's it during my high school years.
You know, looking through your yearbooks for those 4 years you were at Frankfort High School, Andy, I couldn't help but notice that most of your classmates and you look like the all-American boys. You had a nice short, close-cropped haircuts, and everybody looked like they were dressed to the T's and everything for school. And it's a little bit different than when I went to school 10 years after you. I think everybody had on some disco outfits maybe and some long hair and everything. So it was quite a different kind of a look. But now you're graduating, and I understand at some point you got involved with the United States Army. Would you like to share anything about some lessons you learned in sports that might have helped you survive in the Army?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the one thing I learned from sports is it's a team thing. It's not a me. It's a team thing. And win or lose, that was the most important thing I learned from that. And then when the chips were down, you picked yourself up and go back at it. In the service, it's still a team thing. I spent 3 years in the Army, and I spent a year in Vietnam. And so when I came back, we weren't always welcome back, but Frankfort, a small town, everybody was glad to see me. So that was a big relief on my part. But it was an experience I wouldn't trade for anything. I'm glad I did it. I shouldn't say it, but I have bitter feelings about Vietnam. I don't think we should have been there. Mm-hmm. I think that was a political war, but that's me.
What years were you there?
Pardon?
What years were you in the military?
I started in 65 to 68.
Okay.
So I got on in August of 1968. I remember that because my last year and a half, I was in Fort Hood, Texas. And, when I left there, I said, never am I ever going back to Texas. So my dad finally retired, and guess where they ended up? So I got to go back to Texas. It was okay being a civilian.
We're back on WUWU talking to Andy Michael, Alberta Frankfort local legend. And let's continue on, Andy. Did you want to say something about that song we just heard?
Yeah. I was with a friend of mine. We went down to Cobo Arena, and we saw this group, Bad Company. And when they played that song, Deal with the Preacher, it just blew me away. And I've got all their CDs there. Big fan.
Oh, cool. Maybe you can tell us now about after you got out of the Army, how some of your employment choices connected you with Alberta's history, and also with the Frankfort, Alberta area schools.
Well, when I first got out, I went sailing on the Great Lakes. And then in 1969, I fell 40 feet from the top of the boat to the bottom, lost a couple of teeth.
Was this on a car ferry?
No, on the Low Lakers. No, it wasn't on the car ferries. And then, like I say, I broke my jaw, but it all healed up. And one day, this Jack Benson come by, and they were hiring on the bridge and builder crew on the Ann Arbor Railroad. Next week, I come back, said, you want the job? So I went and got my physical. So for almost 10 years, I worked on Ann Arbor Railroad on bridge and builder crew for 6 years. And the section crew I worked on for 4 years until they went out of business. And so I did some painting, and then I applied at the Frankfort, Alberta area schools. They had a custodian position open up. There was four of us who went for an interview. I got the job, and what a blessing. It was hard at first, but once I got used to it and found what my role was and how the interaction between me and the students was so different than the teacher and the students, it was wonderful. I became a big fan. I've always been a Panther fan, but really this motivated me. And then I started working at Lockhart Field in the mornings because I worked in the evenings, and I did all the striping on the football field, baseball, softball up on the track for the discus and shot put, and I loved it. So when I retired from the school in 2006, that was my full-time job. I had the best job in the world, and working at the school was good. But working at Lockhart Field, I loved it. Nobody could tell me what to do because they didn't know what I did, which was really cool. I was my own boss. But things had to be perfect. When the lines were made, they had to be straight. I wanted those kids to feel pride when they walked on that field. And same with baseball, softball, and track. Yeah, that was a blessing.
Yeah, it's easy to see the pride in Frankfurt football. I think over the long haul, they've won 75% of their games. And in 2016, both you and Coach Jim Bazell were inductees into the Frankfurt, Alberta Area Schools Hall of Fame. How did it feel to be honored by the community along with your longtime coach?
It was humbling. I really didn't expect it. All of a sudden, Jeff Towsley come over one day to my house and said, "Well, you've been voted in the Wall of Fame." And I says, "Wow." And it was because of Derek Jackson. It was kind of like my adopted son that recommended me for it and wrote up something that was just special, and it is to me this day. But the only thing I requested is that Frank Eikens, the head maintenance guy, asked me, "Where do you want your picture on the wall?" And I said, "Put it right next to Coach Bazell." And so that's what they did, so I'm happy with that. And then as I continued working at Lockhart Field, all of a sudden the body kind of gave out. That happens to that happens. And so what I do now is I work the chain crew. I'm the guy that's got the downs marker walk up and down the field. And the only reference I needed is, "Can you count to four?" And I said, "I got it. I got this job." So I love it. I'm still around the kids. And Derek Jackson is a line coach, and he has such a special rapport with these kids that it's so much fun to be around them.